I may adapt this today a bit. Might circle back next Sunday, in fact I will, to some of what I was going to do today. But we need the Word of God, and the name of Jesus is all we need. I will say by way of introduction that it was a few months ago when someone said or suggested, you know, how about preaching through the book of Revelation? And I replied saying, why, I probably would never preach through the book of Revelation. And it was only a day or two, it was very shortly after that, when someone else said something very similar about teaching or going through the book of Revelation, and I shared the same response about why I would probably never teach or preach through the book of Revelation. Well, then I just found myself thinking about it and praying about it. And then, as it says, put in the bulletin, then I went to the internet. I didn't go looking for, you know, end times things. If you want to find that, you can find plenty on there. What I really went and looked up was some websites, blogs, etc., that talked about why you should preach and teach through the book of Revelation, including one that said seven reasons to preach through Revelation. And you know, if you get 7 points or seven reasons, you're going to get me right there, because I like that. I like those 7 points. And one verse in particular, among others, came to my mind, and then I looked it up again and read it, but it's Acts 20:27, and it's the Apostle Paul when he's talking to the elders in Ephesus, the Ephesian elders, and Paul says to them, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Now, the whole counsel of God, unless I live to be about 380 or so, I'm not going to get through the whole counsel as far as teaching, preaching. Revelation is a unique book, and obviously, as I've shared for a couple months now, I've been looking forward to it myself. But I read about this seminary professor who lived 200 years ago, so we're looking at 1809 at Andover Theological Seminary. His name was Moses Stewart. He was a professor, a teacher, and his students were imploring him to lecture on the book of Revelation. And he looked at Revelation and said, I can't approach this or translate this in the same way I do all the other books that I teach on in the Bible. And he said, I have nothing to offer you right now. And in fact, he kept looking at it, and he decided, and he's already a seminary professor, he said he's going to take the next 10 years, a decade, to study not Revelation, but the Old Testament prophets in preparation to teach Revelation. So Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Zechariah, others, and then come back. Now this is 200 years ago, did not have screens from this size to TV to computer to anything, did not have cars, airplanes, did not have, I don't even know if they had recorded music yet, at least very few did if they did at all. 1809? I don't think so. So you say, what did they spend their time on? All those distractions, and still he took 10 years. At our last elder board meeting a month ago, I said I could really use a one-year sabbatical, just to study in preparation. You know, this morning I might not get too much farther other than getting into the Word and sharing a bit and kind of starting anew next Sunday. But here's Revelation 1, only going to read verses 1 through 8. Actually, in this modification, I'm going to read chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must happen very soon. He made it clear by sending his angel to his servant John, who then testified to everything that he saw concerning the word of God and the testimony about Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy aloud, and blessed are those who hear and obey the things written in it, because the time is near. From John, to the seven churches that are in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you, from he who is and who was and who is still to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. To the one who loves us and has set us free from our sins at the cost of his own blood, and has appointed us as a kingdom, as priests serving his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is returning with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes on the earth will mourn because of him. This will certainly come to pass. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is still to come, the all-powerful. I, John, your brother, and the one who shares with you in the persecution, kingdom, and endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony about Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned to see whose voice was speaking to me, and when I did so, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands was one like a son of man. He was dressed in a robe extending down to his feet, and he wore a wide golden belt around his chest. His head and hair were as white as wool, even as white as snow, and his eyes were like a fiery flame. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp double-edged sword extended out of his mouth. His face shone like the sun shining at full strength. When I saw him, I fell down at his feet, as though I were dead. But he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the one who lives. I was dead, but look, now I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore write what you saw, what is, and what will be after these things. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Chapter 1 in Revelation. And there Jesus explains what some of those images are, and I would love if he did that through the entire book. But he doesn't as we get deeper into the book. There's a lot of images to come. You know, I'm only going to share two things, one that is from the outline and one that's not specifically in here. But point number four is the corollaries, when we're going to go through the content and the context and the commands. Corollaries, and these are other passages in the Bible that connect or correlate with Revelation 1, 1 through 8. I'm just going to mention the clouds because this is one of my favorite images in the Bible, and we get it not only here in Revelation 1, but several places throughout Scripture, and that is Jesus returning, coming back triumphant with power and glory. And each time it mentions with the clouds. So as we're looking to Jesus' return, we actually look for a cloudy day or these special clouds. I'll mention more about those again next week. The other thing is just when we mention, you know, the coming of Jesus, There's actually three different ways, at least, in the Bible that it talks about Jesus coming. Not all of them are about his coming at the end of time, which is the one we mainly think of. But in John chapter 14, got to turn here. John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room. He talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about the Spirit reminding them of everything he taught them. And he also says, if I get here, John 14, I think it's verse 23, about Jesus and the Father coming to those who hear and obey him. John 14, 23, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my word, and my Father will love him, and we, the Father and Son, will come to him and take up residence with him." The word come there, the Father and the Son, of course, is not talking about the end of time. We don't translate it or interpret it usually that way, but simply those who look to him, trust him now, and obey him and his word, he comes in the presence of the Holy Spirit and dwells within us. There's that coming that occurs with all believers right now. And there's also comings in the Old Testament and New. It talks about God coming upon people, oftentimes in judgment. And we've seen that throughout history. God raised up other nations who would judge his own people. And these were comings. So there are different ways when we talk about it. And even in Revelation chapter 3, the seventh letter to the seven churches to Laodicea, that verse that a lot of people know, Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice, I will come in and eat with them and them with me." And there again, when we read that, I don't think most people think he's talking about the end of time come, right? In judgment and new heavens, new earth, but right now. If anyone, church in Laodicea, Bethel Lutheran Brethren Church, anyone everywhere, if they hear Jesus knocking and hear his voice and open the door, and again, that's a picture of the heart. Jesus says, "I will come in." As we go through Revelation, and we will together, again, I'm humbly not ready to teach and preach, as it were, and yet Apostle Paul writes to be ready to preach in season and out of season, but I'm ready to learn along with you as we go through this amazing book. Above all, the first three words of it are what it's all about, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, you reveal yourself to us through your word, not only in Revelation, but throughout the whole Bible. In the end of Luke chapter 24, we read about you opening the minds of your disciples who had witnessed you, who had lived with you, who had witnessed your death and resurrection. Yet you opened their minds to understand from the Old Testament scriptures how it was all about you. And you said, Moses, the first five books of the Bible, he wrote about you. The Psalms, the prophets, and Revelation is all revealing to us who you are, why you came, and what it means that you're coming again one day. In the meantime, Lord, we pray once again that we would be prepared, be alert, be ready, be watchful, be waiting, be in prayer. And that more and more people, Lord, who don't yet look to you, who aren't ready, would turn. They would repent of their sins. They would seek you and find forgiveness and also be looking to your return one day. God, help us. And again, I lift up Wayne. Lord, you know how he's doing right now, where he's at. We just lift him up to you for your help and your healing. And be with us the rest of this day and the rest of this week, the rest of time, as we look to you and your coming, Jesus. Amen.